Hello and welcome to an Inside College Hockey podcast for Thursday, January 25th, 2007. Thanks for listening. If you missed it last night, Wednesday, Jeff Hauer, a Hockey East writer, was at the Boston College, Boston University game and provided a live blog of the happenings at Conte Forum where BU won 4-1. Because of that, he's not able to join us for the podcast. We are a little shorthanded, but our penalty killing is great. I'm Joe Gladyszewski, host of the podcast and ECAC Hockey League writer, joined by Jess Myers, who covers the WCHA, and Mike Eidelbus, a Inch editor and columnist. Hello, guys.
Good evening.
Hi, Gladdy. How are you?
Good weather.
Great, Jess.
Good whatever day part it is when you're listening to this.
Yes.
I was going to say, we need to work on a sponsorship deal with, like, Powerade or Gatorade or somebody, so maybe Joe can be ready to go after those live blogs, even after all they take out of you. You know, if we could get some sports drinks and fluids in them, I think he'd be ready to go.
I could use some electrolytes.
A little electrolytes and, you know, some smelling salts, and I think he'll be in the saddle. But, hey, you know, anybody who has done a live blog knows what it takes out of you.
And Jeff Howe now has that under his belt. And it was good stuff. It's no longer a live blog, more a running diary, but check it out if you can. And we're always interested in feedback. It's the first time we've tried something like that at Inch. So let us know what you thought. Let's get on to the rest of the nation. BC and BU, a couple of nice teams. But we'll talk about them a little bit as part of this conversation. But Sunday night, we were putting together the Inch Power Rankings. We ran into the situation for the second week in a row, where a lot of teams had splits in their weekend series, even the top four, five, you know, six teams in the country. And we talked about it in first shift that right now there's no team that's clearly standing out and kind of establishing themselves as the clear number one team to beat at this point in the season. Your thoughts on that, Mike?
Well, I think it has there's a couple factors at work here. You know, one being that you know, you look at the opponents that these teams have played over the last couple of weeks, with Minnesota going up against a Wisconsin and a Denver, and, you know, flip it for Denver going up against a couple of weeks ago, they had Wisconsin and Minnesota. This week you've got Notre Dame, Miami, and we mentioned
Denver St. Cloud,
and you mentioned BU and BC, who played tonight or played Wednesday night, and obviously play again Friday. So, you know, the teams are getting into the meat of their schedule, whereas, you know, prior to Christmas they had, you know, a split of non-conference and conference games. And I think the other thing that that maybe plays a role is just that you're getting to the point of the season where guys start to wear down and the grind starts to get to them a little bit and people get tired. And if this was baseball, this would be this – part of the season, I think, would be the dog days of August. You know, you're, you know, you kind of can see the finish line, but not really. And I think a lot of people's focus just kind of wanes at this point in the year.
Jess, what do you see about those teams in the WCHA right now?
Well, talking to Bob Motzko about this topic a week and a half ago or so, he used the term January funk, you know, and it especially affects your freshmen, you know. You're starting to realize just how long the college hockey season is and how that intensity, you know, doesn't go away. It just keeps ramping up and ramping up. If you're a team like St. Cloud, I would say this is a kind of the time of year, if you're a St. Cloud fan, where it's like the playoffs can't come fast enough now because you feel like things are going pretty well and you don't want to lose what you've had. And, you know, there's always the risk of that. I mean, you look at Wisconsin a year ago is a prime example. It was about this time last year that Brian Elliott got that injury in practice, and they went from being absolutely unbeatable, you know, hand them the conference title, to, you know, almost a month there where they couldn't win a game, you know, rebounded nicely in March and April, obviously. But strange time of year, I would agree.
Mike, you and I especially have been through seasons like this in pretty close capacity with college hockey, and maybe you can point to some anecdotes or examples, but it's funny how everyone's tempers and fuses just get so short. You know, just even the littlest thing about, you know, how a guy stacks his pillow on the bus, or you know, like all those dog days things that you're talking about. It's just, this is brutal. And the last thing you need is another bus ride to, you know, Schenectady or Kalamazoo or, you know, Colorado Springs or what have you. You know, it's just tough sledding.
Right. I think another thing that may play a factor, and, you know, I can only speculate, is that, you know, you're at the time of year now where, you know, prior to Christmas, these guys, you know, being freshmen or seniors, they all have a little bit of a chance to get acclimated to the schoolwork and get a little bit of that under their belts and get into a routine. Now you're jumping into a new semester, new classes. Most people do, at least after the Christmas break. So you're dealing with all new classes. You're kind of starting from square one there in the middle of a hockey season. And most people have a nice break around Christmas, so you're trying to get back into that flow as well. And, you know, it's just the routine, while it's nice from a player standpoint, I think, you know, knowing what you can expect, it certainly does wear on you as far as doing the same things in practice day in and day out, eating the same things when you're on the road. I mean, you can only have chicken and pasta so many times before you get tired of it. Riding the bus and watching the same movies or listening to the same things on your iPod or going through or staying with the same roommate on the road. I mean, it's part of that repetition, I think, starts to wear on you. And I think it really does affect the player's sharpness as the season progresses.
And obviously, I was going to say the weather this time of year doesn't help either. I mean, you know, for most places in the country. I live in Minnesota. This is the coldest month. It's gloomy a lot of the time. It's cold. It's cloudy. I mean,
there's not a lot of daylight.
No, that's another thing. I mean, granted, we are getting more and more daylight every day as, you know, as we get on towards spring here, but spring still seems like a long time away. You know, right now when there's snow on the ground, you wake up, it's cold. I mean, if you're going to school in a place like, you know, Alabama Huntsville, it's probably not as big a factor, or even, you know, Colorado Springs or Denver, where it's a lot more sunny on a day in and day out basis. If you're in Grand Forks or Houghton, Michigan or upstate New York right now, this is kind of a, you know, if you have a propensity for seasonal affective disorder, this is definitely when you're going to feel it.
That is true.
No question.
That is,
I think,
true.
You know, another thing that you kind of have to take into account is that you know, we're talking about the, you know, the end of the season and getting on with the second season, which is the, you know, the league playoffs and conference playoffs, and then and moving on to the NCAA tournament. You know, once you get, you know, a couple weeks down the road and you get into February, guys can look at the schedule and look at the standings and say, okay, you know, we can position ourselves here. If we win a couple games, we can move up here and, you know, be a good spot for the playoffs or something like that. You know, right now it's hard to see that as a goal, you know, so naturally your goal is to win, but you can't really, you know, right now that target's kind of moving around. And I think it just, you know, guys just don't have that focus at this point in time of the season, whereas a couple weeks from now, you know, everybody will pretty much know kind of what they're aiming for and what's at stake.
I agree 100% with what you just said. And I think we've got to talk a little bit about Boston University and how they've avoided this. I mean, they're playing their best hockey of the season right now. They're on a 5-game winning streak after the win over BC, and not surprisingly, every year they get hot right around beanpot time is usually the measuring stick. This year it seems like it's a couple weeks ahead of pace. And one thing they said, you know, in Jeff's Hockey East notebook last week, Boston University's Peter MacArthur talked about Jack Parker's system and schemes and how he wants the Terriers to play, and that it takes an especially long time to get to know that and to get to be comfortable in that system. So the excitement and the opportunity that we talked about teams enjoying and feeding off of in the first semester, be used feeding off that now. Now they're starting to see things put together and starting to see what happens and starting to see results when they execute their systems. So I think BU's in a good spot with that. The factors that we mentioned affecting other teams, BU is affected differently, and they're reaping the dividends right now.
You know, when I read that, that brought up an interesting thought in my mind, and that was, if it takes you half the season to kind of get comfortable and acclimated into a system, is that counterproductive?
I mean, yeah.
Are you willing to kind of tread water for half the season and have to turn it on in the second half? Obviously, Jack Parker's coaching methods are, the success of them are pretty well documented, but I'm just more or less being a devil's advocate. I mean, is it good to kind of spend half the season going in circles while you're trying to get the system down pat? Meanwhile, you're playing 500 hockey and you're going to have to play at a much better clip in the second half to, you know, make the NCAA tournament or have a nice seed in the standings at the end of the year.
Yeah, there's certainly two sides to the story for BU, but the consistency of how their seasons go makes me think that, you know, it's not a fluke thing. It's definitely how things are scripted there, and they've been a very successful program.
Mm-hmm. No
question. They haven't been in a frozen four in a while.
Right.
I would say there are programs that there are coaches that have absolutely no problem with starting slow and you know, it seemed to almost by design, you know, the start slow, finish strong plan. Jeff Sauer, our friend when he was coach at Wisconsin, would seemingly always aim for about third place in the league standings because that means, you know, you get home ice in the playoffs. If you advance to the league tournament, you don't have to play that Thursday night play-in game, but you don't have extra energy expended winning the league championship. And some coaches are perfectly fine with that. They're not interested at all in regular season stuff and are just kind of aiming for have us where we want to be by March 1st and not necessarily before that.
That is certainly the case. We talked about BU. We talked about St. Cloud. Mike, you got to see the Michigan State Spartans last week, and that's another team that's on a winning streak and playing some very good hockey right now.
Yeah, they're playing extremely well right now, and they've reeled off, I think, a stretch of nine of their last 10, I think they've won.
Five in a row, too.
And not only that, but they get the benefit of a weekend off here, to recharge the batteries a little bit and go into the last four weekends of the regular season with a full tank. I saw them play last Friday when they beat Lake Superior State 3-2 in overtime, and the one thing that really stood out, actually a couple things that stood out in my mind, one was that just how balanced they are as a team, and you know that can be looked at in a couple different ways. You know, on the one hand, really individually nobody stood out, but the effort was very consistent through all four lines and all three defensive pairs, and Jeff Lurg played extremely well in goal, and you know he does a good, he compensates for his height by squaring up to the shooter and being in sound position, and the other thing that struck me about them was that Justin Applicator is really a good hockey player. He was by far the best player on the ice that night, even though I don't think he got credit for a goal. He probably should have got credit for a goal that was just an absolute laser from just inside the blue line. The official scorer said it was tipped by another player and went in, but just a big, strong player with really good puck skills. And if he does decide to stay in school, he was a second-round pick of the Red Wings a couple of years ago. He can be that kind of a, I think, a Drew Stafford type power forward. Those kind of guys, I think, are becoming more and more rare in college hockey.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, we don't see those. We see guys with size, obviously, but not. I mean,
not as much grit.
Not as much. That combination of grit, but also the with the puck skills that go along with it.
Yeah, there are a few players like that in the ECAC Hockey League. A couple that come to mind are Sean Weller at Clarkson, and Ray Sawada at Cornell, who is on a team that is kind of struggling. And Sawada is certainly not as skilled as the other two that we talked about in that conversation. But the one thing that I find truly fascinating about the ECAC Hockey League right now is that Union, according to the standings, is in last place. They've got the fewest number of points. Their overall record is 500. So their overall record is better than their league standing. And they're a tough matchup. People that I've spoken with over the last several weeks about which teams, you know, do you think are pretty good and who's giving you problems, and several of them have said Union. They can't believe. You know, they're well coached, they execute their systems, and they play well, and they're tough. But the way I look at it, and I think that it's going to make for an unbelievably interesting playoffs, because in the East Asia Hockey League, all 12 teams make the playoffs. It's going to come down to matchups. Because you look at a Union, let's just take them for an example. They match up very well against Clarkson. I don't know why, but they do. And they beat Clarkson in overtime on Saturday. But if you were to compare Clarkson to another team in the league, it would probably be Quinnipiac. And Quinnipiac gave Union fits. I mean, they couldn't do anything against him earlier in the year. And Clarkson, on the other hand, struggles against Cornell and Union, but really dominates St. Lawrence and Rensselaer. So I think there are these kinds of relationships all around the league, and it's going to depend on who's playing who, not what place they're in or even what building they're in. So that'll be fun to watch. If somebody can send us an email right to inch@insidecollegehockey.com, put in the subject line, free beer in Albany, and if you can tell me before February 1, we'll give the rest of the week, I guess.
Yeah, that's a week.
Yeah, give me a week. Right, to inch@insidecollegehockey.com, subject line, free beer in Albany. And if you name the four teams that are there, I'll save all the emails. I'll buy you a free beer when we're in Albany for the big tournament. We'll get it arranged.
I like that. That's a good idea. You know, the one question I had about Union is just about their goalie. Is he...
Mrazek?
Of the goalies in that league, is he the kind of guy that can steal a series more so than...
No. He has not proven himself to be that goalie right now.
Really?
Not at all.
You answered that just a little too quickly.
Yeah.
No!
Because I thought that he's been...
Well, Glad you remember what we did to Mussin? No!
Mrazek's been better, but the fact is the matter that he was pretty lousy the first half of the year.
Right.
And that's why Union is in last place. And
right. But he, in the past, he's been better.
No, Mayotte was...
I'm thinking of Mayotte. That's...
Yeah, Chris Mayotte. And he certainly was that guy. He was
yes, that's why I'm...
And Mrazek split time with Mayotte during Mrazek's freshman year, and Mayotte pretty much ran with the ball, or blocker pad, if you will, last year.
He ran
and, with the waffle board.
Yeah.
If there's certainly some other guys I would put in that category. I don't think anybody would be too excited about playing against Mark Dekanich at Colgate.
Right.
In a playoff series, Dan Rosen at Browns had a good start. I like Alec Richards at Yale. I think he's got some talent there, and
he's probably getting some.
And Dartmouth's a funny team. I mean, still on paper, they're right there. They might have gained some confidence and some momentum. They had three non-league games. They're Harvard's travel partner, and Harvard's been on a three-week exam break. So Dartmouth played three non-league games against Atlantic Hockey teams and won them all last week. We even put them back in the power rankings based on their overall record and their recent form. And they come back into ECAC Hockey League play this weekend at St. Lawrence and Clarkson. So those will be big games up there, up north. Jess, do you think Mr. Piney's fourth grade class at Pine Bend Elementary School will participate in the free beer in Albany contest?
Boy, they better not. That'd cause big trouble.
We'd like to say hello to the fourth grade class at Pine Bend Elementary School in Invergrove Heights, Minnesota.
The inside joke here for fans who are puzzled. My 9-year-old son is in that class, and they were learning about podcasts last week, and he piped up and said, "Hey, my dad's got a podcast." And all of a sudden, our listenership was about tripled, I think.
That's exactly right.
That's what's the IQ of our listenership.
Yeah, that too.
Absolutely.
Well, certainly the IQ of the podcast participants.
Well, if they're going to... If they're
just
gonna,
remember, 21 means 21, even if you are an Albany.
I was going to say, if they're going to cash in on that Albany deal, you guys better start having bake sales now. get that chartered bus. Charter that bus.
Oh, I didn't say I was going to get him to Albany. I said I'll be in that.
No, I know. I'm saying this.
I got to tell you this though. College hockey connection. Mr. Piney told me he's from Hastings High School, Hastings, Minnesota, and one of his best friends, former Minnesota State Maverick Aaron Fox, who is now playing pro hockey in Slovenia. He said they still talk online about once a week. So college hockey connections everywhere.
I thought you were going to say Russ Welch.
Well, him too. And Ben Utech, who's playing in the Super Bowl next week. And Craig Kilborn. Anybody else from Hastings we can think of?
Tony Dungy's from Jackson, Michigan. I just thought I'd throw that in.
He is?
Oh. Yes, he is.
Down the old 127.
Down 127,
there,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, but can he skate?
I don't know. I doubt it.
How long has he been a Blackhead coach? That's the old Super Bowl joke for people who don't know.
Yeah.
Tell them about Doug Williams.
For people who don't know, just go and type Doug Williams Super Bowl into Google, and it'll come up.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll get
Super Bowl
it.
Press
you'll
conference, Doug Williams into Google, and yeah, you'll figure it all
yeah.
out.
Yeah, it wasn't. Oh, no. It wasn't me being out of line. It was.
No.
A reference to a past event of someone else being out of line.
To one of the worst questions in history.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about college hockey connections, and let's talk about that more now with the completion of the NHL All-Star Weekend. The Young Stars game featured a number of former college players. The skills competition included Andy McDonald, formerly of Colgate, winning the fastest skater competition in the Young Stars game. Zach Parise had 6 points and was named MVP. Phil Kessel, former Minnesota Golden Gopher, had a hat trick. And a number of ex-collegians also played in the All-Star game itself for the pros on Wednesday night, including goalies Marty Turco and Ryan Miller. Good to see those guys. I think every fan, and it's something we've talked about an inch before, has kind of a sense of pride when they see guys that they used to watch on a Friday and Saturday night in their local rink, you know, playing in the big time.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I think that, you know, it just, I don't think it's just maybe your local guy either, the guy that you saw at your own rink, but just anybody who's played the college game. You know, you point out, you know, seeing an Andy McDonald and a guy who's obviously worked really hard, you know, who was a great college player, but he's worked really hard to get to where he is now. I mean, he's fought and scratched and clawed his way on that roster in Anaheim, and now he's, you know, they're on their top line with Solani and another college guy, Chris Kunitz. And you look at Kessel, and obviously, you know, he was at Minnesota for 1 year, but just to, you know, see him out there and with the things that he's gone through this year, with the cancer surgery and only missing about a month of action, and even a guy like Thomas Vanek, you know, it's kind of funny to remember back to when his sophomore year when we kind of railed on him a little bit for, you know, maybe not giving his best effort all the time, and now you see him now, and it's just amazing, you know, how dynamic of a player that he is, And just to see the growth that he's made, not just since college, but heck, even since the end of last season when he was benched a lot of the time in the playoffs for Buffalo.
I mentioned this to you guys too, but my favorite part of the Young Stars was last year's Hobie winner, Matt Carl, formerly of the Denver Pioneers, became the first player in Young Stars game history to score a special teams goal. They actually called a penalty in the third period, and Matt Carl was there to get a shorthanded goal. So good for him, and he's had a nice year, too. He spent a little bit of time down in the minors, but has really contributed to that Sharks team, as has Joe Pavelski. So a couple guys who were in the college game last year. I don't know if Pavelski was in the Young Stars. I don't think he
was. He was not.
But I think I will say he was certainly deserving with the start he has had in the NHL, and proven to be as dynamic a player in the pro ranks as he was as a collegiate.
And his teammate last year, Robbie Earl, has not had a great first-year pro. He spent most or all of the year with the Toronto Marlies of the American Hockey League and didn't play particularly well. The Marlies host the American League All-Star Game on Monday night, another event that features many former college players. I'm a big American Hockey League fan. I think it's an absolutely outstanding developmental league. And I saw an All-Star game once in person and also several on television. Check your regional sports networks. Many of them across the United States and Canada are picking up that game. And if you are a subscriber to the NHL's Center Ice Package, they will also carry the American League All-Star game on Monday night. It's a good event and lots of talented players, and I can guarantee you, you will recognize some names and faces in that game if you're a college hockey follower.
Where did you go to the AHL All-Star
It was game? In Syracuse, New York.
What year?
Oh, man, I would say 97-98 season. I was in college, so that would be about right.
Speaking of Syracuse, Gladie, a proud alum that you are, I want to encourage your fellow alums, send an email, write letters, do whatever you can to the AD there. He's publicly talked about adding men's and women's Division I collegiate hockey, and boy, I think that would be a great addition to the college hockey world.
That makes one of us.
Wow. A ringing endorsement, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, now you got to defend your stance, because there's a bunch of people out there that are going to go, what's this guy talking about?
Well, here's the thing. As a Central New York resident, Central New York native, Syracuse University alum, I don't think it fits the city or the university's athletics culture. I just don't think it would be well received by the campus or by the community. They support the Crunch, but a lot of Crunch fans, and the Crunch is the American Hockey League team there, a lot of Crunch fans are Crunch fans despite the university. You know, they don't like what's going on at the Dome with the football and basketball programs. They don't like paying $15, $20 to park and then walking the snow uphill to a building, you know. And then the Crunch is kind of their cool thing to be anti-SU. So if those are your hockey fans who are also anti-SU, you know, then they've got to make a decision. What do I like hockey more than I hate the university, or, you know, what happens with that? I also think, and this is a reason that it's driven me nuts my entire life, if you ask a Syracuse fan, and I'm sure it goes on in other parts of the country too, but the places I've been to, I don't think it's as strong. When the Syracuse football schedule comes out every year or 2 years in advance, as it may be, here's how people talk in August when they're getting excited for the season. I'm going to the Boston College game, or I'm going to the Miami game, or the Notre Dame game, or the Penn State game. They never say, I'm going to the Syracuse game.
Yeah.
You know, it's always, who are we playing against? Oh, I'll go to Florida and Florida State. Those are the big games, you know. But you can't sell out a little 45,000-seat stadium. And I know Eastern football is different than it is in a lot of parts of the country. But, I mean, come on. I mean, look at the Colts. Watch the Colts in 2 Sundays from now. All those guys played 4 years in the Carrier Dome. Dwight Freeney, Marvin Harrison.
Yep.
You know, it's like, these guys are players. I mean, these were your guys, and you didn't watch them unless, you know, Gino Toretta or whoever was in town. You know, it's like,
oh, jeez.
I'm serious. That's how it is.
I know.
You went there.
I did go there, yeah.
And it's like, and that drives me nuts. So to get back to the point, what's a college hockey fan going to say, you know, or what's general Joe SU fan, Joe from Liverpool, New York, saying, you know, he can't get excited to watch Maine. Who's Maine? Do they have football up in Maine? You know, when it's one of the premier programs in the history of our sport.
You know, up to see Corey Schneider now.
And certainly, I mean, BC they would recognize. But then even your other regional rivalries, like RIT, Colgate, you know, Canisius, or not Canisius, I suppose, but Cornell, RPI, Union.
Colgate?
You know, yeah, I mentioned Colgate. And Colgate, they would draw. That was actually a longtime Syracuse rival. They played basketball every year, and they used to play football throughout the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, et cetera. But, you know, they'd recognize those schools, but even St. Lawrence. You know, St. Lawrence plays Division III sports and everything. They're 2 hours from Syracuse. And can people really grab onto that as a, you know, they know Villanova, Georgetown, you know, St. John's. I don't think they're going to really respond because of that mindset about we're going to watch the opponent.
Yeah, and it's that way with everything except for basketball.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and it's not my, well, even in the basketball team, it gets that way too. They don't get their biggest crowds until the Big East season starts, which, I mean, it's understandable, but I don't know. But that's the thing with Syracuse. I hope it works out. I think it would be great for college hockey. I just, things I've seen over the last several years and throughout my life, I don't think they do it right. I don't think it would be received very well. And I just, maybe they're better off without it. I mean, hey, that's just what I've seen. Let me get this out there. I hope it works. I would love for it to work there. I think it would be great. I just, based on what I've seen, I don't have high hopes for it working.
Well, and on the flip side, I think, you know, certainly it could work and be a success, but I guess the other problem or the other issue is what if they do it and it doesn't work and it just backfires horribly?
Well, then it's no different than Syracuse University soccer or, you know, softball. They've got D1 softball. They all play in the Big East, you know, against ranked teams. And is that what you really want to do? You know, and what league would they get in? College Hockey America? We mentioned the teams that are good teams, you know, the good college hockey teams that wouldn't draw in Syracuse. What are they going to say when Bemidji State comes in for two?
And beats them.
And that's not to say that Bemidji State's not a good team. It's just, nobody's
not widely known. In
yeah, they're not exactly. You know, Alabama, who? You know, I mean that would be the reaction.
Right.
And then you know if they're in Atlantic hockey, same deal. You know, there's more knowledge there, I think, because of the geographic setup of the league would be familiar, but. Man,
speaking of
they have UConn.
Yeah, exactly. Where's Jim?
Speaking of Bemidji State, I just wanted to give a quick shout out, not to randomly change topics, but Bus, a few years ago, you offered an apology to my alma mater for the fact that we had them ranked number one in the country, and they seemingly hadn't won a game since. I wanted to apologize to Tom Sertori and my friends at Bemidji State. I kind of pumped their tires a couple weeks ago about the fact that they were 5-1 against WCHA teams, and since then they've lost 4 in a row to WCHA teams and are now 5-5 versus this conference. So I'll just be quiet and Beaver Nation, rock on, and best of luck to you.
They're doing fine in the league.
Oh, yeah. They are doing fine. They're
a hardworking team.
Those two before North
Dakota.
Who do they play before North Dakota?
They got beat by Tech twice up in Houghton.
Michigan Tech. That happened about a year ago. The Mavs. They beat the Mavs, didn't they? They played the Mavs early, right?
They swept the Mavs. They swept the Bulldogs, and they split with Colorado College. Yeah.
Right.
But since then, they're on a four-game losing streak within the WCHA. So I admire the heck out of Bemidji State, and I just won't say another word about them. God bless you.
If they ran the table against the WCHA, does that mean that they have to let them in the conference?
Well, there are a few folks on the shores of Lake Bemidji who are certainly hoping that's the case, but it's not really a spot for them right now, and I don't see them being added to the conference anytime in the immediate future, barring a team leaving the conference, but I don't see that happening either.
Just add them.
Tell me about Bemidji State's rink, Jess. I don't know anything about it. Big
John S. Glass Fieldhouse. They are in the process. They got some money from the state last year. They are in the process of planning a downtown Bemidji regional event center, the focus of which will be a hockey arena. So they will, in a perfect world, be moving out of John S. Glass Fieldhouse within about a few seasons now. But John Glass Fieldhouse seats a couple thousand. The administration's bleachers, kind of.
Okay.
Bleachers on one side, like fold down bleachers. Their one big complaint about the place as far as money making for the university, it's only got seats on one side, so they complain that they get half as much advertising revenue on the boards because, you know, that one side of the board, nobody sees them, so they can't sell any ads.
Yeah, but they have a whole...
I suggested maybe put up big mirrors on one side, you know, and then have the ads written backwards so you could see them in the mirror.
Don't they have a gigantic wall on the other side? Just put a bunch of stuff on the wall.
Hey, you got to maximize your space. But
I know, that's what I'm saying. Or they could get
1983. A little history here. 1983 state, a Minnesota State Bantam tournament was my first trip inside John S. Glass Fieldhouse, where I was the backup goalie for my Bantam team that made the state tournament.
Wonderful.
Spent a lot of time on that bench right below that big wall.
Open a lot of those bench doors.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go.
I would think I would maybe bring a blanket.
Yeah, probably.
Could you eat?
What if they had a better marketing guy who could sell ads on the other side of the boards that are targeted toward the players?
Ooh.
get your skate sharpened at most.
And the guy's like running the penalty box.
Yeah.
Your elbow pads are horrible. Buy these.
Chico's bail bonds.
An ad for like WD-40 to keep the door hinges well oiled.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like that. Coaches too, you know.
Hey, that's right.
Menswear store or something. That's a good idea.
S&K Menswear.
Maybe they should get some of those rotating ads like they have behind home plate. Then you could double up.
Oh yeah. We've got all kinds of ideas.
How come Bemidji did not call us?
Rink. Speaking of marketing ideas,
my phone's ringing and it's a 218 number. Hang on. Okay.
Vermont Catamounts promo as on
the
power rankings. Thumbs up for the goalie masks. Loved them. Loved them.
Now, they were paper, correct?
Yes.
Or like a thicker cardboard type of...
Cardstock paper.
Did you get any?
I have not yet received a mask, but several friends of Inch have contacted the site, and we got a little something in the works, let's just say. So,
you know a guy?
I got a guy. And I got a girl.
Yeah.
And I got an alum.
An alum.
I got all kinds of guys. Yeah. Vermont paper handout goalie mask guys. I'm all over that.
Yeah. They look pretty cool on TV.
They look great, yeah. Looking forward to getting my hands on one and seeing how they are officially. So thanks to the folks from Vermont who did write us. Appreciate the sentiment. And appreciate you falling victim to our begging.
I'm gonna get my
hands. What else should we beg for?
I'm going to get my hands on one and wear it to drop in hockey down at the local rink.
That's a good idea. Wear it to your daughter, show and tell.
No, she'll wear it. That'll be the problem.
This is my goalie mask from Burlington, Vermont.
Exactly.
All right. Anything else out there? Jessel, you want to talk about Alaska?
Oh, yeah. You forgot.
Oh, no. Let's kick that around.
You had two stories. Alaska.
I had two stories?
Fox something? Fox Sports?
Oh. Well, first of all, let me mention the Fox thing, because I, living in the Twin Cities, I do most of my hockey coverage at Mariucci Arena, and boy, if that isn't the epicenter of controversy in the last couple of weeks. First, we had the whole Minnesota State coaches and their alleged altercation with the officials down in the tunnel. Now, this past weekend, almost in exactly the same spot, Jeff Dubay from Fox Sports North. Jeff has been doing some sideline stuff for Fox this year and is admittedly a huge Gopher fan. In fact, prior to this season, I never saw him at Mariucci Arena without a Gopher sweater on at some point. So he has been relieved of his duties by Fox because at the end of the first period, he commented to referee Todd Anderson that he thought that Todd's work was a euphemism for what comes out of the back end of a horse. And ref filed a complaint with the WCHA office. The WCHA asked Fox to look into it, and Fox's response was, Jeff, we're not going to be needing you the rest of the season. Thanks for your work.
Wow.
Enjoy your season tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah, so watch what you say to the refs, especially if you're a member of the media who and your media outlet has a contract with the league. Be careful.
Yeah.
While Syracuse University might not be a good fit for college hockey, it is a good fit for journalism. Kind of learn that first day if you need to learn it.
Yeah.
Don't chirp the refs while you're working.
Don't chirp at your subject. Yeah.
bad idea. And in response, by the way, to the whole Minnesota State incident and some complaints from the WCHA that security wasn't tight enough at Mariucci Arena, their response to it was they put up a big barrier and they kept the media like 20 feet back. Like, oh, yeah, we're the problem. Okay.
If they can't see it, it didn't happen.
That's right. So the joke was we're standing behind this curtain, you know, waiting for them to open up the locker room 20 feet back from where we normally are, and somebody said, we'll have to send a really nice thank you card to the coaches at Minnesota State for these fine accommodations.
Rough living out there. Okay, Alaska, Anchorage.
Alaska. Don't know if folks have been reading about this, but they've got an interesting situation on their hands based on the fact that Dave Chiak, the head coach at Alaska Anchorage now in his second season there, is a Canadian citizen and is working in the United States on a work permit, essentially, that's temporary and is issued by the Department of Labor. Now, the Department of Labor, U.S. Department of Labor, rules state that if somebody's on a temporary permit and you want to essentially make them a permanent employee, which obviously Alaska Anchorage wants to do with Dave Chiak, you have to open up the job. You have to post it publicly and make sure no qualified U.S. citizens apply for the job. The story came out a couple weeks ago because all of a sudden the Anchorage Daily News is running a want ad, you know, help wanted Alaska Anchorage looking for a head hockey coach. And it's like, you know, Dave's having a pretty good year. Why are you trying to gas him now? But this is the situation. Now, in the last couple days, they've gotten 5 applicants for the job, and the university hasn't released all of the applicants' names, but they did release 2 of them, or at least the Anchorage Daily News found out 2 of them. One is a former Alaska Anchorage assistant, whose name escapes me now. He was the head coach at Iona. And the other one is Troy Ward, who was the assistant for Mike Eaves at Wisconsin as recently as just 2 years ago. So you've got 2 guys who arguably are pretty qualified for the job. And that's going to create a pretty interesting situation, I would think, for Alaska Anchorage to find out what maneuvers they're going to have to make if they want to keep Dave Chiak employed as their head coach and get him the green card and work permit that he needs to continue working in the United States.
Frank Breddy is the name that you're trying to think of.
Frank Breddy. I should know more about Iona hockey and other defunct programs, but I don't. Sorry.
The Seawolves are 1-4-1 in their last 6 games. And face Minnesota and Wisconsin for 2 series coming up.
Currently tied for 6th.
Currently
tied for 6th in the WCHA after being widely picked to finish 10th. So it's been a better than expected year for the Seawolves, and Chiak, most people believe, has the program, at least for now, headed in the right direction. So obviously they don't want to go through a coaching change, let alone a coaching change that is forced by U.S. labor laws, but I guess you play by the rules as they're dealt. We'll have to see how much power the Alaska delegation has in Washington, if they can make some calls over to the Department of Labor and get something going here.
They could just withhold oil.
True enough. Salmon, you know, cut off salmon shipments.
Crab.
King crab.
Blue knives.
Chiak, I would recommend, takes the college football approach to retaining his job, where at several programs you can stay just by winning your rivalry games. And the Seawolves were 3-0-1 this year against the artist formerly known as Alaska Fairbanks, which is now just Alaska. So he's won the state battles. He's keeping the kids in state.
The Governor's Cup, I believe it's called.
Yes, it is.
Indeed, it is.
Since he already has the job, wouldn't that make him the most qualified?
Yeah, but, you know, like I say, he's not, you know, without U.S. citizenship.
The most qualified Americano?
That's right. Most qualified guy who wasn't born in Saskatchewan.
That's... Some things are just so stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, all right. I'm just gonna be quiet.
Good times.
I don't want to get political on the kids out there.
That's true. We're not a political machine yet.
No, no.
Someday we hope to be the most politically powerful college hockey website out there.
Oh,
that
we
hasn't
are.
Happened yet.
We're going to endorse candidates in 2008.
Look at all the funding you got for the deck, Jess.
Hey, speaking of candidates in 2008, the one guy with any college hockey experience, John Kerry, he says he's not going to run. So we'll have to keep looking.
You met John Kerry, right? You played with.
I played hockey with John Kerry. Good player.
Yeah.
He's no Lloyd Benson.
When you met him, did you say, "Hey, John, why the long face?"
Yeah, oh boy, never heard that one before.
I have heard it before, and I still laugh every time I hear it.
I do too.
Man,
the mask from Scream.
No, for a guy who's in his, you know, I think he's in his 60s now, I played a hockey game with him about a year ago, and he's got impressive hands for a guy who's getting on there in age. He can move the puck pretty well.
Hey, now.
Decent skater.
Good deal. How about...
Someday America will be ready for a president who played college hockey, but 2 years ago we just weren't ready, and 2 years from now we won't get the chance. So.
And that man's name is Ryan Caldwell.
Ryan Caldwell.
I vote Caldwell.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt in my mind.
Adam Buerkle.
Connor James for president.
Well, he's Canadian. You can't vote for him.
Ah.
Buerkle's from Minnesota. You can vote for him.
I think Connor James could run if there were no qualified Americans who wanted to run.
Speaking of 08,
Hey, by the way, you joke about the deck. You rip me all you want about the deck, but the governor of Minnesota, in his State of the State address this week, said he's going to recommend full funding for the deck project. So,
wow.
Of course, he's promised that before and reneged on it. But he renewed his many times broken promise for $38 million for the city of Duluth to.
I will vote for any candidate that steps up to the microphone and says, "America, I'm not going to pump your tires."
You hear that, candidates? All you presidential candidates listening
yeah.
to the Inch podcast?
if you're seeking the Inch endorsement in 08, here's qualification number one.
Barack Obama is writing down, "Pump your tire." Right now. Don't pump tires.
W would come out the next day and say, "I'm not going to pump your wheels."
We ain't going to do no wheel pumping. Nope. Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
he said we weren't
going to
get political.
Huge on Capitol Hill.
Oh,
huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, good times. Anybody else we want to annoy, offend?
I love that you mentioned the elementary school right after the free beer in Albany thing. That was a beautiful segue.
Oh, duh.
And now Kid Corner, sponsored by Marlboro Light.
Mm-hmm. sound effects mean it's time to go.
We have two new sound effects on the show, don't we?
Oh, come on.
Oh, we'll introduce them.
We're gonna do an all sound effects show later in the year. Right after our wrestling show.
Hey, did you see Bam Bam Bigelow died?
No!
Yeah, somebody told me about it.
Yeah. He was, surprisingly, he was 6'2", 400 pounds.
Yeah.
And was 45. He had the flames tattooed on his head. For
that
those
was tough. That was tough.
Yeah. He was a middle, mid-level guy, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he was.
Never
ascended. Yeah, he would get pay-per-view fights, but not pay-per-view main events.
No. No, he was in this kind of the special.
He would have been your contender for your intercollegiate or
intercontinental.
He'd have been in that stratosphere.
He'd be the intercontinental TV championship.
The TV champ, yeah.
As opposed to with the radio championship.
Bam Bam Bigelow and Rick Martel will meet for the TV championship. Okay, we're done with the wrestling. We're done.
Hurry up. Mr. Fuji's coming.
Hurry up, Mr. Fuji's coming to throw sand in our face. let's say thank you to everyone who listened to each podcast again, especially all of you in elected office, and thanks for hanging out, and we'll hope to hear from you soon, and we'll be on with another podcast next week.